I'd open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 4, where we're going to read verse 4 for our text tonight. Now, the past few weeks we've talked about the contentment of the believer. And tonight I want to look at something very similar, yet different, and that is the joy of the believer. The joy of a believer, and that's the title of the message for tonight. Joy, spiritual joy, is something that definitely is of the Lord and is very much a spiritual thing. And we're going to talk about it as we go along here, but joy, spiritual joy, is something we can have at any time. And it is not dependent on our circumstances. Our circumstances can make us happy, and they can make us sad, and all kinds of emotions in between. But joy is something we can have even when we're sad on the outside. And I'm talking about spiritual joy. I'm talking about that which comes from God. And so I want us to look at this here tonight and look at some things we might learn from the Scriptures about the joy of a believer. Our text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we are humbled to come into your presence here tonight, to be able to worship you, to bring praise and honor and glory to your name, to be able to receive from you love and grace and mercy and instruction from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us indeed here tonight those things that you would have us learn about joy, about spiritual joy, and about how we can have that in our lives. Lord, I thank you for this joy. And I thank you for all the things that you do to sustain us, to keep us, to preserve us, your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says to the Philippians here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." I'm going to start the first point tonight is that one must make a choice to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I'm approaching this very much from a man's responsibility side of things. From God's sovereign side, he gives us joy. He is the originator of joy in us, okay? But on the human responsibility side of things, there are some things that we need to do to experience that joy. There are some things we do that can take that joy away from us. And so I want to start with this idea that we need to make a choice to rejoice in the Lord. It's a spiritual choice that a believer can make. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe it's possible at all for someone who is lost and undone, who is dead in their sins, to have this kind of spiritual joy. I believe it's something that comes with spiritual life. And I believe it's a blessing that God gives to his people. But there is a choice that we must make as believers. Now, when I say choice, I don't want to take away from the fact that this is a command to us to rejoice in the Lord always. It's a command that we must obey. The flesh is not going to choose to rejoice in the Lord. The spirit, however, is made to rejoice in the Lord. We must choose, am I going to live in the flesh or am I going to live in the spirit? So the choice to rejoice really begins with the choice to obey. Obedience to the Lord will lead to a life of joy in the Lord. I think David realized this when he understood that he had sinned greatly against God and that he had lost the joy of his salvation. And he says this, some things in Psalm 51. Turn there for a moment. Psalm 51, we're going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12 there. Moments ago, I said that we can lose our joy. And we do so when we sin against God. And when we continue, especially when we continue in sin against God, we'll find that that joy that we once had in the Lord is no longer there. We've lost it. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose that joy that we have in relationship with God. In Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." So joy is God's to give and to take away. Joy is something that we can receive through obedience to God, and something we can lose when we disobey God and we sin against God. So we must make a choice. I think there are a lot of Christians maybe that go through life and they don't experience much spiritual joy. And I think it has a lot to do with how they're living their lives and how obedient they are or are not to the Lord. Choose to rejoice, but first choose to obey. There is nothing better for a Christian than obedience to God. Nothing better we can do except obey God. Let's obey God. And in so doing, we can choose to rejoice in the Lord. The second point I want to make, going back to our scripture passage, rejoice in the Lord always. One can rejoice in the Lord always. Well, how can this be? Because as we've talked so far, we know there are times when we don't have that joy. So how can we have it always? Well, one thing we need to understand, we can have joy always. We can choose to rejoice always. Because God never changes. God never changes on his side. He doesn't change things on us. He doesn't change the rules in the middle of the game, so to speak. God never changes. The same things that he has said all along in his scriptures that please him, obedience, following Christ, putting the kingdom first, all those things are pleasing to God. He hasn't changed those things on us. The things that are displeasing to him, which is sin, he hasn't changed that either. Doesn't matter if the world around us is wanting to soften what is perceived to be sin. That doesn't matter. God hasn't changed. And he never will. That's one of his attributes as God. So everything that he is that makes it possible for us to rejoice in the Lord will never change. So where does the problem lie? It lies with us. Do we ever change? We change with the wind. We're not very stable. We're not very steady. We're easily distracted. we're easily led away. It shouldn't be so, but it is. I think that's in part why Paul says in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul said that speaking of himself. I think every believer can say the very same thing, right in tune with the Apostle Paul. We struggle with this. And hence, we'll have times of joy in our life, and we'll have times where that joy is missing. So what do we do? How can we rejoice in the Lord always? Well, I think one of the first things we must do is remember that it is Jesus that has won the victory for us. We often, I believe, stumble and fall into sin because we dwell more on our weakness than on his victory. Jesus has already defeated sin for us. He's paid the price for sin. He's defeated those enemies that we have. Yet, we fall into old habits. Yet, we distance ourselves from God because we sin against God. We need to partake in the victory that we have in Jesus. Do you realize that when he quickened you and gave you spiritual life, that was a partaking in the victory that he has won for you? He quickens us, but he gives to us victory. And we ought to celebrate that. And we should partake in many more victories throughout our lives. And some of these victories come when we choose to rejoice in the Lord. Third, one can rejoice while in the greatest of sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, before and after verse 10, Paul is doing a lot of contrasting. And he comes to verse 10 and he says these words. And he's talking about living and living our lives, and that we live as sorrowful, yet alway rejoicing. He goes on and says, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Give you an example of all these contrasts he's doing before and after this. But I just draw your attention to those words, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. There were times in Paul's life where he experienced great sorrow. Yet, at the very same time, he's saying, he was rejoicing. How does that work? Well, again, I point out to you that joy and happiness are two different things. So it is possible for us to be very sad or sorrowful and yet still have joy in our hearts. You see, joy does not exclude sorrow. In other words, joy doesn't push out or wipe out sorrow out of our lives. It exists and overcomes that sorrow in our lives. It can attend it, that means see after sorrow. In other words, sometimes when we're going through a sorrowful time in our lives, God gives to us joy to help us get through what it is we're struggling or whatever it is that's happening to us. So joy can help us deal with sorrow. It can sustain us in the midst of sorrow. Have you ever been so sorrowful that you maybe didn't know how you were going to take your next step? You didn't know how you were going to make it another day. And yet somehow you did. If you're a child of God, it's because of the joy He can put in your life. I've had some very sorrowful times in my life. But I can look back at those times and see where God, little by little, here and there, gave me joy. It's amazing how He can do that. It shows us something of the power of God, that He can do that. Joy can even raise us up above sorrow. Sorrow, on the other hand, can teach us to look to the Lord. And there is great joy to be found in that. Turn to Psalm 121 for a moment. We're going to read the 8 verses there of this psalm. Psalm 121. Now, I believe this is a messianic psalm written about Jesus because of some of the things that are said here. But I also believe it's written for us as believers in Christ, as children of God. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, some would translate that last part as a question. Where does my help come from? And it could be that lifting up your eyes into the hills, I mean, you, in the days that this psalm was written, that's where they had the altars for the false gods. So it could be that some looked there for their help. And people will look at in many different places to find help, especially when they're sorrowful or when they're overwhelmed. There are various things that people will try to pursue to find relief. But there's only one, truly, who can help us in such a time, and that is the Lord God Himself. And the psalmist says in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, I know if you're a believer, there's probably been a lot of times in your life where you've felt overwhelmed and that you needed help. Maybe even times when you were driven to your knees in prayer to God. Let me tell you something. He knows your need. He knew your need before you ever experienced your need. And it is through Him that we receive that help that we need. He goes on, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. When you reach that point, and oftentimes it comes after we've done everything we can to help ourselves, and we're still suffering. We're still overwhelmed. We're still sorrowful. and we turn to the Lord, we will find joy in the help of the Lord. God wants us to turn to Him. God wants us to depend upon Him. And in that dependence on God, you will find joy. Doesn't mean that He will immediately change your circumstances. Outwardly, you may still be overwhelmed. But inwardly, you know you belong to God and that He will preserve you. You see, there is not a person on this earth or a creature in all creation that can take away the salvation that God has given to you as one of His children. And oftentimes we may have to just come to rest upon that and know that we are in His hands and know that no matter what happens, He will preserve us. Sometimes we're going to have to go through that sorrowful time and suffer. But in the suffering, we can find joy in the Lord. This really carries over into this next point. One can experience joy in the troublesome winter as much as in the prosperous summer. You know, I don't think we really look at things that way. I think we look at our prosperous times when things are going good and, you know, we're happy on the outside. And we look at that and we say, the Lord is blessing me. And then those times that come along that are more troublesome, the troublesome winter, we look at those things and think, you know what, I must have done something wrong and God is punishing me. Now, it may be He is chastising you for something. But what we need to realize is God is the same in the prosperous summer as He is in the troublesome winter. He never changes. He is still gracious. He is still loving. He is still merciful. He is still tender and kind towards us, His people, no matter which place we find ourselves in. Someone has said that God is as good when He chides us as when He comforts us. Those times when He chastens us, He's as good to us then as He is when He comforts us. Have you experienced the chastening hand of the Lord? Well, if you've been a believer more than 5 or 10 minutes, you probably have. And sometimes it hurts. It reminds me of whoopings I got when I was a child from mama and daddy. I mean whoopings. I'm not talking about time out in the corner. I'm talking about Nero and beat me half to death kind of whoopings. It was painful. But you know what? They were demonstrating love to me when they did that, when they corrected me, when they were teaching me how to act. That was an act of love on their part. And I really do believe they loved me as much then as they did when they would comfort me. I can look back on that and say that. I maybe didn't think that at the time. But I can look back on that and say that. How much greater is God than our parents? By the way, just an aside, do our nation good if we had a whole lot more whoopings going on. Some of these things that we see, these school shootings and things like that. Parents were able to whoop their children like they're supposed to. We wouldn't have that kind of thing. Not near as much, anyway. But God loves us when he chides us as much as when he comforts us. Same person said that God is as gracious when he lays us low as he is when he raises us up. Think about that. There are times when God lays us low. Why? Usually it's because of pride getting out of control in our lives. And we need to be kind of knocked down a bit. Taken down a notch. And he'll lay you low to root that pride out of you. And he loves you just as much when he does that as he does when he raises you up and showers you with his blessings. He is as kind when he takes away as he is when he gives. That's tough. Because we really are like children when things are taken away from us. We throw little tantrums and we want to yell, "Mine, mine, that's mine." But there are times when God needs to take things away from us. Ask Job. When confronted with all that he was confronted with at the beginning of Job, in chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground." We'll pause there. Everything we've seen there from that, when he rent his mantle, when he shaved his head, when he fell down upon the ground, those are signs of mourning. But you know how that verse ends? He rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said in verse 21, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." How does it end? "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job was in the midst of great sorrow. I'm not sure we can really understand how deep his sorrow was at this point. Yet he found a way to worship God. And to look at God and say, "The Lord gives and he takes away. Either way, blessed be his name." Can you say that? When you get caught up into the sorrow of your life, the troublesome times of your life, can you say just as strongly in those times as you can when everything's super good, that blessed be the name of the Lord? Amen. If you can, you're going to experience great joy. Great joy. The last thing. One needs to understand the response that God makes when we rejoice. We need to remember God desires his children to be happy in his love. He wants us to experience happiness in his love. He wants us to be restful under the shelter of his wings, under his protection. When you flee to God for protection and you rest in him, you'll find a rest that you never knew was possible and joy that goes with it. God desires his children to be peaceful in the midst of storms. You know, of course, our greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he and the disciples were out at sea on one occasion, and the waves got up and the storms came, They went and woke him up, and he just said, "Peace, be still," to the waters. He was peaceful. In circumstances where those seasoned sailors who were with him, circumstances they understood was putting their lives at peril. We're talking deadly dangerous, life-taking dangerous. Jesus was at peace. And he is our example. Another occasion, of course, he came walking across the waters to them. In complete control. Now I know he is God. But I also think I know that he can give that peace, that kind of peace to us. And when we can be peaceful in that kind of situation, we're also going to be experiencing joy. How awesome is our God? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." You know what the coolest thing about joy in the Lord is? God experiences it too on his side. When we're rejoicing in him, he's rejoicing in us. And you know what? That's what he created us for. And you know what? That's a big part of what heaven's going to be about. Because all those things that make us sad and sorrowful and overwhelmed and hurting and whatever in this life will be gone. And there will be nothing present in heaven that will ever take our joy away. It'll be forever. We will be joyful in the Lord. We will rejoice in the Lord, and he will rejoice in us. How amazing that will be. Let's pray. Brother Neil Taylor, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?